This is the Shirt Factory Center Stage. Jim Hoffer and Kim Schaller take you behind the scenes. It's conversations with musicians and artists who are performing right here at the Lidded Shirt Factory.
It's a place where people can really get together and have great sound, great music, and great beer.
We have Collusion Tapworks Brew Pub on the first floor and the Shirt Factory live music venue upstairs.
A great music vibe.
I love the intimacy of it.
Being with friends who like the things that you like really good music.
This is the Shirt Factory Center Stage. Let's go.
Hi, Kim.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm really good. We haven't talked in a while, have
we? I know.
We?
No, we haven't. We've sort of taken a little break.
So a little hiatus from podcasting.
A little hiatus from each other, yes.
And it gives our legion of listeners a break,
a
too,
break.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. It's the holiday season.
Right.
They've had a break.
Yeah.
But we're ready.
Well, we are ready.
We are ready.
And we're back. And boy, are we back. What a guest we have on this episode, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
Yeah, we have Donovan Michael Hoffer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, notice he has the same last name.
I do
name
notice
as
that.
Me.
So I think there's some sort of familial connection. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, Donovan Michael Hoffer is a Penn Manor grad. How old, Donovan?
30.
30. That's what I thought. That's what
09.
I have here. And you have been acting, I mean, dare I say, almost your entire life.
I would say that is correct.
Because I can remember coming over to your house and at the age of 5 getting, I'm not kidding, a Broadway production from a 5-year-old Donovan.
Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast. With props, full costume, costume changing, numerous songs. And I know, I mean, we would all look at each other and say, well,
this guy's going somewhere. Right.
He is obsessed. He's got the bug.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to Shirt Factory Center Stage.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And who's your guest with you?
This is my mother, Jody Hoffer.
Yes. That's so great.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, everyone. Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Did he have the bug? When did you recognize it? The acting bug, if I can call it that.
I actually recognized it really, I would say, at the age of 2 and 3. And I knew that something was different. He was different from every other child that he was in the presence of, as far as dance, as far as vocal. So that's when I knew that, wow, something is different.
At age 2 and 3?
2 and 3. You know, he wasn't into the normal things, Tonka trucks, anything like that. It was more costume design. It was more dress up. It was all those things that just occurred to me. Wow, this is different.
Mm-hmm. What's your earliest recollection of performance being something that lit you up?
I remember my dad always introducing me to music, and the first music he introduced me to was the original cast recording of The Phantom of the Opera. Talk about dramatics. And I just remember playing it over and over and over again, and I was just obsessed with the soprano.
How old?
Yeah, how old would you
We were living in Kentucky at that point, so it would have been third, second grade.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Always loved dressing up, always loved putting on like the character, but the music bug was definitely in Kentucky, so like third grade. And I just was obsessed with Sarah Brightman and Michael Crawford's vocals. Like, it was just like, I want to be them. I want to sound like them.
I'll say. Okay.
And so let's flash ahead. I mean, you have, you know, really accomplished quite a bit. I mean, you have, I think I counted 8 Fulton Theater performances.
I think it's more than that.
To your credit.
It's like 15.
Hairspray.
Yep.
Hunchback. Aladdin. You have numerous Dutch Apple Dinner Theater.
Yepper.
You were on Broadway. I went to see that, Rocktopia.
Woo-woo.
It was great. So you have a lot already that you've accomplished. And most recently, the Prima Theater this past summer, where you did the Queen Journey show. You had a major role in that.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Mercury and
Stephen Perry.
And Stephen Perry.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really great. I mean, that was, first of all, many of those nights of those performances were sold out.
Yep.
What's your memory of that? What, you must have felt a great deal of sort of satisfaction at the end of the, how many shows were there, do you know?
We did 4 shows. We did 1 outdoor concert, which is what we set out to do. We set out to do the outdoor concert feel. And then because of weather or whatever it was, we brought it back inside. And it was still awesome inside at the Marriott. But funny enough, rock music has always like kind of found its way to me. In New York City, I was in callbacks multiple times for Rock of Ages, and it's a dream show. I love that show. It's such a fun show, and I would just love to be a part of it, but never got the opportunity. So then Rocktopia happened, and I was like, here's this rock music coming knocking again. And then Primo reached out, and they were like, hey, we have this project that you would probably be perfect for, and we're doing this Queen Journey thing, and we think you would really emulate Freddie Mercury. And I was like, I'm on board. This is awesome. This is the opportunity I've been waiting for to really do. And they were so lovely in the sense of letting me do my own thing and making it like a collaborative experience. And the first day of rehearsal, they said, you know, we're really setting out to make a 10 out of 10 experience for you all to walk away with. And that's what is like really stuck with me looking back. That's what we did. We set out and we did it. We made this 10 out of 10 experience that like, I can't go anywhere in this town without people being like, oh my God, Queen Journey, that was amazing. That was amazing. Holy poop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no, I mean, it really was. And I sort of felt that it was sort of you reaching another level in your career.
Yeah.
And then that was followed by, or at least around the same time, you were competing at America's Got Talent.
Yep.
Now let's talk about
that. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, you wowed the judges, all 4 of them.
Yeah.
What song did you sing?
I sang Think of Me from the Phantom of the Opera. So right. Full circle with the Phantom of the Opera.
And totally operatic voice.
Yep.
Right? And
which is something I've kind of kept hidden my whole life. Like I always was like, I'm not going to go into an audition and sing Think of Me. I'm going to go sing like a man. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I just never would have thought I would have been using that voice. And now I'm using it all the time. So,
but you know, I watched it on television, the performance, and it looked like, I mean, it was an hour show. Obviously I'm prejudiced in some sense, but there's no question that you impressed the judges the most that night.
Yeah.
There's no question. It wasn't even close. All 4 of them stood up, gave you a standing ovation. Simon Cowell said, I'm going to quote him here, if someone were smart, Simon said, they'd put you in the right part in the right musical because you have an amazing voice.
Yeah.
When he said that, what was going through your mind?
That whole audition was just such a moment of validation because, you know, after hundreds and hundreds of auditions year after year after year in New York City, you know, you're really lucky if you get the casting director or associate to look up at you while you're singing, you know. So It was just such a moment of respect to have all these 4 celebrity judges looking me at the eyes, in the eyes, smiling, enjoying what I'm giving them. And then to have that validation was just absolutely incredible.
So back up a little bit. Tell us about the audition. How did it all come about?
So, you know, obviously the shutdown happened and then all of us performers were like, oh, what do we do here? And this new app called TikTok was this big sensation and everybody was like, oh yeah, you should post, you know, singing videos on there. And so I did and I started singing in that soprano voice. And I mean, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of comments would come in, views and views and views. The following went up and up and up. I think I have like 89.4K on TikTok now.
So it went viral, as they say.
Pretty much. Right. And then a casting director or a producer from America's Got Talent found me on TikTok. They reached out to me and they were like, hey, would you be interested in singing Think of Me for an audition for America's Got Talent for season 16? And I was like, why not?
Yeah. What else is going on, right?
Yeah. And so he had asked me in November of 2020. And then my audition was not until March of 2021. Mm-hmm. So that was the whole secret period of not telling anybody what was going on. And then the audition finally aired June. What was it? First? June 1st?
I think so. 3rd? It was in June. Yeah.
So it was a ridiculous timeline, but definitely exciting.
Oh, sure. My gosh. And I agree with you, Jim. I felt as though the four of them were so dazzled by you. I felt like this was... So when you learned that you weren't moving on, so what... Tell us about that and why. What have you learned about that?
So because of COVID, they had to basically do their season differently. They had to kind of chop it in half. And also the Olympics were happening simultaneously. So they could only do so much. So normally, if I would have auditioned in a previous season, pre-COVID, I would have got another opportunity to perform. But they could only pick a top 36. So, and they gave yeses to like 60 plus acts, you know? So half of us got, you know, the boot, you know? Which was depressing, but like also it was not at the same time because of that validation I had with the documented audition that is gonna live on forever on the internet. And, you know, it was a moment of confusion and it was like, oh, this kind of sucks.
Hey, you're listening to the Shirt Factory Center Stage podcast with Kim and Jim.
I think you mean, I mean Jim and Kim.
No, I mean Kim and Jim. So, Jody, what's it like for you, honestly, when you sit and watch him perform? You know the amount of commitment that he's made to it. What's it like for you?
For sure.
I'm going to have to be very honest. It's very emotional for me, especially without my husband by my side. Mm-hmm. My husband and I sacrificed quite a bit for both of our kids, but to the joy that it brings me, the payoff, it's like a big payoff,
right?
And you know, through the years being there, through all the ups and the downs and the pain and the New York experience and the traveling all around and just the never knowing, the anxiety and just always being a constant cheerleader and right. And you know, and so I feel that when I see him perform, I not only see his success, I see how much effort that my husband right. Jeff and I had put into it as well.
Right.
So being caring parents and loving and supportive and just allowing him to have that creative juice flow. And so it's really great.
Yeah.
It's really great. And I don't like to get emotional about it, but I can't help it because it's
oh my God,
from the time that he was a little boy, you know, and then not just him, but my other son. Then there was totally two different guys here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had Donovan on one hand, theatrical, Jonah, sports minded, but we supported both of them in anything or everything that their hearts wanted to do. So
I absolutely could have not walked out on that AGT stage without everything that you and Dad supplied me and Jonah mm-hmm. with.
Yes.
So gave you the confidence.
Yeah. I told her once, I was like, you know, that wasn't just for me. That was for Mom, mm-hmm. Dad, Jonah, my family, my community, Penn Manor. Like it just keeps mm-hmm. going and the list goes on and on and on.
But I'm curious, Jody, because you know, the sort of the logical parent inside you, do you sometimes think, yes, I'm telling Donovan to pursue his dream and never give up, but he needs to have a plan B because financially he's got to support himself. And the odds are astronomical, right? They're astronomical. Yep. So do you ever...
There is a big fear, and there has always been that fear that, you know, Donovan, I don't want you to do this. I want you to go to business school, or I want you to do something else. I don't want you to do this. As much as I love to see you perform, and it's incredible watching you, this really is not my dream for you. Mm-hmm. However, there is fear there, like I said, fear of never knowing when the next paycheck's coming in, never knowing, you know, if he's ever going to work again. And just go, just get a regular job so you have health insurance.
So you do struggle. You are conflicted by that.
I do. I am very conflicted by that. And I do worry about it quite a bit. However, it's his passion.
Mm-hmm. And that's just it, Donna. What about you? I mean, you must worry about it too. I mean, how do you balance that? Simply, do you have a plan B? Or are you just going for the dream?
Yeah, I've been very, very lucky and grateful because, you know, I have a lot of friends who live in New York City who haven't worked in years. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, God, like, that's got to be tough. That's got to be tough. So I really can't complain about my career and my life because I'm constantly working. I'm constantly booking amazing experiences. And, you know, I always have to think of those friends in New York who are still, you know, waiting tables, starving, going to auditions constantly, you know. So that grounds me for sure. But I like to not ever say I want to have a plan B because I'm so, like, focused on that goal, you know. But, you know, rent has to be paid. So I have been working at a salon in Chicago, which is the first time I've had to lower my pride in a long time. And as far as, like, working a real job, if you will. And it was tough. It was an interesting transition because customer service is scary. But it's also been grounding me for sure and pushing me to, like, get back on the train with it. Following the dream, if that makes sense.
Well, Nate, let's talk about that. You're in Chicago, yeah, so yeah. Why not LA or New York?
Absolutely not LA. Nope, too expensive. Yeah. And just crazy. Like, being in LA while I was auditioning, like, I remember my Uber drive to the hotel was just frightening. Yeah. Seeing, like, the crazies on the street and New York City. I actually moved out of New York City before COVID. It was like perfect timing. Because I was supposed to do Kinky Boots on Norwegian Cruise Line, which was like all original Broadway costumes, design, set. But obviously that didn't happen because of COVID. And my artistic director at the Fulton, Mark Robin, came from Chicago. And he was always buzzing about Chicago and the theater in Chicago. So I was just sitting on the patio at my mom's during COVID. And me and my best friend were like, what are we going to do with our lives? Where are we going to go? I don't want to go back to New York. New York is not an option right now. It's just right. Not with COVID going on. And we were just like, how about Chicago? And we did it. We just committed and moved. And I love it.
Oh, nice.
The lake there, having a beach in your backyard right. is just amazing. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And the theater is coming back now. So I think there will be more opportunities for me in Chicago. I love it. It's amazing.
Nice.
It is the city of crime, though. We can hear gunshots from the patio.
Well, a lot of cities are struggling with
that. Yes, but like
that.
That's every city. You know, I lived in New York for so long, so it's adaptable. It's no different, really.
Right. So is musical talent in your family? I mean, so did you or Jeff, are you musician? I know, not Jim.
I think he gets it from me.
Oh, nice.
Well, he gets the drama from you.
And he gets the vocal and the vocal joke. For me.
Yeah, mom can sing.
Yeah, I took vocal lessons when I was a young kid. So I'd like to think there. That a little bit of that he got from me.
Right. Tell us a little bit about your regimen. I mean, being a singer-dancer as well. I mean, from a fitness standpoint and the food you eat. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really take care of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, your body is your temple. And as an actor, like, you are your machine. You know, like, and you got to treat it well. So I hardly drink liquor at all, period. Like, because any ounce of liquor is just not good for a performer. Mm-hmm. And fitness is key. I like to stay on my fitness for sure, just because I never know what is going to be thrown at me. Like, I don't dance as much anymore. I'm more a singer now. But, you know, in the Prima show, I am wearing these, like, heels, if you wear, like, boot heels. Mm-hmm. And even that, like, messes up my body, you know?
Sure.
So I have to soak in an Epsom salt bath. You know, I really have to take care of, like, every part of me. And vocally, I drink so much water. Sleep is key. Sleep is very key.
So it keeps you in great shape.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a profession that keeps you healthy. Mm-hmm. And I cannot resist. I have to jump back to AGT. And I'm sorry, and don't give me a dirty look, Jim, but is there any behind-the-scenes dirt you could tell us about Simon or Heidi or Sophia? Is there anything you can share?
They're clowns. They really are. Like, I remember waiting backstage before they told me I was going to go on in 5. And I was like, okay. And I have, like, Terry Crews here, you know, big guy, like, yeah. And I'm just like, what's up? How's it going? And Simon had to go on a bathroom break and they all just started clowning around. They started doing, like, a conga line around the judge. And I was like, are they filming this or is this just, like, for fun? And I just think they like to have a good time, but I didn't get any, like, personal time with them because they're just so, like, on a schedule, you know?
Who told you that Howie was in a bad mood? They were saying all day about him being in a bad mood and then
And he loved me. Yeah, that and was the word on set stage. All day when I was there. Everybody was like, oh, Howie's in a bad mood. You're probably going to get nose. And I'm like, I'm not. Watch this. And he was grinning ear to ear the whole time. Yeah.
He was.
Like, it's like the Cheshire Cat.
And I have to tell you, I did not think Simon was very nice to you in the introduction. And that pissed me off. I was like, you don't know. Be nice. But then he turned around.
Yeah,
as well.
he just is like, oh, another singer. Oh, this person thinks he's Donovan, another singer. Like, he's just used to that, you know.
I actually thought Simon was great. And I actually thought it played in your favor. Because he said, you mean Donovan, like share one word.
Right.
And
you like were Madonna.
Like Madonna. And you were like, yeah.
Right. And that was me just being fully so nervous that I couldn't even say my last name.
Well, sure.
I wanted to ask you about that because for me, I would be dying inside. And because of that, I would have done a terrible performance. Because if you're extremely nervous, you're not going to perform at your ultimate level.
Right.
What was your mindset? Were you like, I can't wait to get out there. I'm gonna nail this out of the park.
More confident.
Oh, nice.
Really? Where does that come from? Seriously.
Well, so that day that I auditioned, I came in and I did my sound check. And I'm the type of person, I like to come in and get it done. I don't like to wait around. I don't like to like twiddle my thumbs. But that's exactly what they made me do. I did my sound check and I waited, 6 hours until I auditioned. So we were held in this like concrete room and I'm just watching everybody go one at a time. And I'm just like, I'm not going to be warm. No. My voice is not going to be warm. Oh, so it was a full day of me like doing jumping jacks, doing like trills. And it was just a moment of, I didn't want to audition for America's Got Talent. They reached out to me. They had me come to them. So this was just like this could go either way.
So you're psyching yourself.
Right. And at that point, I was singing in my soprano voice across the country. I did 2 productions of La Caja Falls as Chantal, who does the whole soprano bit in the opening. And then I did Mary Sunshine at the Fulton. So I was fully prepared to sing in this soprano voice. Now, if I wouldn't have had that experience beforehand, I probably would have been even more nervous. But I was so ready. I was just nervous in the sense of like, don't let me crack. Like, I hope I don't crack on national TV.
Your voice
TV.
Doesn't crack.
Right.
Yeah.
And you didn't think there's 7 million people watching me? I mean, AGT continues to be a very strong performer in terms of his audience delivery. 7 million people were watching you.
I know. But that was kind of the thing. I'm so used to like going out on a big stage and like just seeing a house of blackness, really. Because when we perform on stage, we can't see the whole audience because the lights are just so bright. So really all I could see were the 4 judges. And because it was COVID, this is a fun fact, because it was COVID, normally they have a live audience there, right? So they have the whole energy of the house.
That's right.
They had fake dummy bodies in the audience. So really, I was just giving this performance to Howie, Sophia, etc. So it was like very intimate. It was very personal. And the whole TV thing was just like not in my head because I was like, oh, this is just another audition.
That's true.
Like going into New York City, you know.
And you've done dozens of
hundreds,
those.
Thousands,
hundreds of
thousands.
Those.
And have you thought about American Idol or The Voice? I mean, or is
that
for
sure.
pretty much? Okay.
Yeah, I think definitely maybe in the next couple of years, I would probably reach out to like The Voice. Maybe not Idol. Huh. Who knows?
So let me ask you, let's sum this up. But I think this is a question that's been sort of on my mind about you. And it's, how do you define success in your career? Do you have to be famous? Do you have to be well known? Or is it enough in your mind to be acting? Whether it's regional theater, Broadway, or even a church theater?
That's a good question. I think for many years at the beginning of my career, I was very naive in thinking it's Broadway or bust. That's it. Like if I'm not on Broadway, I'm going to be miserable. And then life just allowed me to have so many beautiful opportunities touring, doing regional theater in Florida, here, there. And at that point, you come to a realization that Broadway is not the only thing that exists. You know, there's so much more venue out there. Like you could be performing at a hole in a wall and have an amazing experience. And so at this point in my life, I'm just happy if I'm singing on stage, doing whatever a director wants me to do.
If you're acting.
Yeah.
You're an actor. That's your profession.
Absolutely.
As long as you're acting, you're being successful.
Right.
I think that's true.
Yep, that has to feel good as a place to feel happy.
Well, as you know, as your uncle, I can't say how, I mean, incredibly proud we've been. And one of the things I'm most proud of is, and in all of, is first of all, your confidence, which is just amazing at your age. And you are able to sort of roll with the punches, which are inevitable. I don't care how great an actor or singer you are, you're going to get rejection.
Yep.
And you just roll with it. That's really impressive. And also just, you know, you've done so well, I think, and you are acting, and that's what you love to do. And I think as long as you continue to pursue that, you're going to be happy.
Right. Yep. And I think for Jody, honestly, as parents, and we're all parents, but our job is to give our kids the roots to grow and the wings to fly. And I think you and Jeff did such a great job with
your son.
So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for saying that, Jim.
Yeah.
You helped along the way too. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad. It was my pleasure, obviously. And thank you so much for being on Trick Factory
for
Center,
to
Stage.
Center Stage.
We were happy
Thanks,
to
you
be
Have
here.
A great holiday.
Yes.
Thank you.
Wow, I was a little nervous because, you know,
oh my God, it's
my nephew.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I think he is just delightful.
Really cool, right?
Such great charisma. And I do think, I just think for context for everybody, Jody was referencing, you know, her husband and her, and I don't know if you guys remember, but the first episode, Jim had spoken about his brother, Jeff, who had passed 6 years ago. That's who they were talking about. Jeff was Donovan's father, Jim's brother. So it's just, I just think it's really special that you had this time with your family in the holiday season. So I'm happy.
It is really, really nice. And it's great. I mean, I've seen Donovan through the years really sort of grow and mature in his role, which is really challenging. I can't imagine saying, well, I'm going to be an actor because the odds are so tremendous that you're ever going to make it. But I think he's come to sort of peace with what that means in terms of success that he talked about.
That's what he said.
Doesn't necessarily mean or equate with fame.
To Broadway. Right, exactly.
And he's an actor, and as long as he's acting, that's what
he's a solid human being. He is really, he seems really like a neat guy. Hey, what's going on? What's coming up next?
Lots of things, Kim.
Okay, what?
Well, January 14th, which is a Friday, we have Big Boy Brass.
Nice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what they are?
No, I don't. I know we're doing a podcast with them, though, so that'll be our next podcast.
Well, think New Orleans style.
Okay.
Lots of horns, but also rock, funk as well.
Okay.
Really good.
All right, good. Looking forward to that.
Okay.
Yes.
What else? And then after that, we have an encore performance by the returning Francois Swiss.
Encore or encore?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's encore, isn't it? What did I say?
You said encore.
Encore.
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, okay. Encore. Okay. Encore performance.
I need a new co-host. Anyway, they're coming back. You remember them, don't you?
I do. Oh, my God.
I
love them.
From Manhattan.
Yes.
I mean, they play in some of the best nightclubs in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And they're
going
to be.
I have a crush on Francois, by the way. But he's
you know,
married.
You're not the only one.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, anyways.
Daniel's awesome, too, but okay.
Well, and great musicians, right?
Right.
Pink Floyd, David Bowie tribute from a classical guitarist and a great percussionist.
Okay.
Why not come? $20.
And when is that again?
That is January 22nd.
Okay, what else?
That's a Saturday. And then we have from The Voice, NBC's The Voice, Mendeleev.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. He went pretty far in The Voice.
Ooh, look at
and
you.
He is coming on
TV people,
Saturday, January 29th.
Okay.
Mendeleev. So a lot of good acts in the month of January.
Okay, nice. Good job, Jim.
Yeah. Say goodbye, Kim.
Hey, goodbye, Kim. Happy New Year.
Bye.
Hey, while you're thinking about it, go to where you get your podcasts, subscribe, and give us a review.
Visit our website, lititsshirtfactory.com, to join our mailing list.
You'll get updates, event information, and lots of cool stuff. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Lit It Shirt Factory.
And don't forget, come to have a beer and a bite at Collusion Tap Works.
Located right here at the Lititz Shirt Factory, 5 Juniper Lane, in Lititz.